a shot in the dark. Wary sort of spark. I'm a light that's too bright for me to see.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, here we go, kids. Episode, what is it? 190. 190. We are within 10 episodes of the big 200th episode. What do I have up my sleeve? What do you know? You want to know? Yeah, I got to tell you. I got you. Whew, got you. I don't know. I've got some ideas. Which reminds me, I need to talk to the powers that be at Breadbox Media about some of the ideas that I have for my 200 show and see if we can do it. So, it feels like Friday afternoon. And the reason why is I don't have to work the day job at the bar tomorrow. I just have to work on my normal stuff and work from my office and at home and take a couple meetings and run around and, you know, not work. I don't think I have any like meetings tomorrow that are like at a certain place at a certain time. There's a couple people I need to catch up with and they'll probably turn into a let's grab coffee or something like that. But I like these kind of days and I've been needing it. I got four of them in a row coming up. So I'm going to try to get the good work that I started last weekend on the Calyx strategic plan and vision documents and all that done. And I should have, hopefully an updated website and some announcements for links on fundraising that we're going to start working on early next week. So fingers crossed. I'm a little out of it in the sushi coma right now. I had to go to Restaurant Depot after I got off of work and, you know, it was lunchtime. I hadn't eaten yet. Sushi Katsu, all you can eat sushi for like $14 for lunch was right there. It was just asking for me to eat it. I mean, if you're going to be all you can eat sushi and you're going to position yourself right next to where a fat guy already is for lunch, I mean, you're kind of asking to be eaten, you know? So I did. And it was delicious. I'm telling you, man. Oh, when I first got to California, they couldn't get me to eat sushi anywhere in the world. I just couldn't do it. It was not an option. And now, man, I just cannot get enough of the stuff. I'm a fan. Oh, goodness. I turn my computer off. It's going to make noises. People are sending me messages. Who's sending me a message? Let's find out. We'll find out. I have a rant. It's a minor rant, but a rant nonetheless. So a few years ago, I bought new glasses. And they said, "Sir, would you like the anti-scratch or anti-glare or something coating? You know, you want these nicer lenses?" I'm like, "How much are they?" "Not too much more." "Sure." And what they should call these modern lens, the coating they put on these modern lenses, instead of being like anti-scratch or anti-glare, it should be called the "you can never, ever, ever just clean your glasses like with your shirt tail and breathing on them ever again, and they'll seemingly get like nastier faster all the time" coating. That's what they should call it. It's like, I used to, once or twice a day, I'd be like, I mean, glasses are kind of grody. You pull them off, you know, breathe on them, pull up the shirt tail, clean them off, good as new. This stuff, that just is smear. It smears. Now, maybe my face has gotten greasier. Maybe I'm nastier now than I was before. But I am just cleaning my glasses constantly. I mean, I have like right here as we speak on my desk in my, listen to this. You hear that? You hear what that is? You know what that is? That's an entire giant box of 120 individual wrapped lens wipes from Walgreens. I have to keep this on my desk. That's how often I have to clean my glasses. Now, you can just kind of, these glasses, you can run them under hot water and maybe a little soap. And then, you know, but you're not supposed to use anything that's not cloth on them. It's ridiculous. I am completely over that. I want to go back to the old school. They're cheap and they get scratched up and you get new ones every so often, glasses, but you can clean them with your shirt. So there you go. How's that for a rant? All right. So speaking of rants, let's go on to political news here. So I was ready to talk about, you know, there was one guy that was being pitched as a possible running mate to Trump. And that was Newt Gingrich. And I like Newt Gingrich. I'm not saying I'm a fan. I mean, I wouldn't say, I'm not sure if I would dive 100% behind him as a presidential candidate. And I can't say that there isn't aspects of him and his personality or whatever that annoys me, but he's just light years better than Trump. And I think he's an intelligent guy and he gets it. I mean, he and his wife produced that video, 9 Days That Changed the World, about John Paul II's trip to Poland right after he was elected and how that helped cause the wall to fall and for communism to collapse. It was the Soviet Union to collapse. And so, I mean, he runs in those circles. I mean, he's a Catholic and he's an intellectual and he's not perfect, but I like Newt for the most part. Yeah. But when I heard he was getting courted by Trump, I was just like, oh, come on, man. Don't do that to me. Don't put me in a situation where some guy that I respect is now going to say yes to Trump. Cause then, I mean, I'll listen to the argument just cause I'm not going to make a decision without listening to his argument. But I mean, I'm 99.9% sure that the only thing that's going to come out of this would be me losing respect for someone I respected. So I had that all pegged up to talk about, but it turns out it looks like it's going to be Mike Pence from Indiana. And so I don't really know anything about Pence. So I don't even want to go read about Pence. I don't want to learn anything about Pence because I don't want to be disappointed. I don't want to end up liking the guy and then getting disappointed that he chose to go with Trump. So I'll go figure out what's going on with Pence. But I've kind of shut up about the Trump thing a little bit. Don't think it's because I'm any less distraught. I just have gotten to the point that I don't really feel like throwing myself off a building or anything in this particular political cycle. Though I am going to kind of enjoy the circus next week. We got a bona fide, honest to goodness circus coming next week with the Republican convention in Cleveland. And hopefully someone in the Republican Party is going to grow a pair and do something to try to get rid of this guy, change the rules. I know there's some secret meetings going on today. Let's change the rules. Let's get him voted out. You know, he's not going to win. I don't care what the polls say. I guarantee you there is too much crap about Trump. Things he said, things he's done that no one has talked about. And when it comes out, it's just going to be ridiculous. It's just going to be an absolute crap show. There's just no way he's going to win. So we're going to get Hillary or we're going to get a third party candidate. So just let's take a shot at somebody we would actually want in there anyway. So, and Hillary, let's go to the other side of the aisle. Oh, Bernie Sanders. Do you hear that sound? Do you hear it? Listen really close. You hear the sound? That's the sound of roughly 20%, 25% of America's heart, like breaking. That's the sound of a bunch of really true believers watching their hyper principled candidate just sell out. And it's like, now you know how we feel as one person that I used to respect after another has come out and said, I'm going to support the Republican nominee. And I've just went, I used to love you. I used to think you were awesome. I will never listen to anything that you ever say ever again. It's like, I mean, It's just, now you know how it feels to have your guy get all practical there at the end. So, you know, like I said, this kind of bums me out. The only thing I thought Bernie was wrong. I thought he was dead wrong about most things. I said it before and I'd say it again. I thought he was the only decent human being in the race. The rest of them were all different versions of wanting to be a tyrant. He, without really knowing it, I think wants the government to be a tyrant, but I think he means well. I think he really did mean well. But when push comes to shove, he's going to support Hillary, you know? And I get it. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to make it easier for... If I was Bernie, I don't know what I would do. I mean, you're going to make it easier for Trump to be president if you're Bernie Sanders? I mean, you're kind of in a damned if you do and damned if you don't situation. My God, there's been moments I've thought about supporting Hillary over Trump. I couldn't get myself to do it. There's just no way. I kind of look at them as, do you want to be hung or do you want to be shot? But I just... Yeah, whichever one is not Hillary, I guess I'll have to take, because, or I'll take whichever one is forced upon me by the results, but not gonna support Hillary, and I'm not gonna support Trump. So, oh, please God, something interesting happened in Cleveland this weekend and next week. So, all right, let's go off to the break. I've depressed myself talking about politics. I'm gonna talk about something more interesting. We're gonna talk about Pokemon when we get back. So you're listening to The Counter Position. I am your host, Andrew Rutley. We'll be right back.
I'm a sacred word to mutter. Ran too fast and turned to butter. I'm a bit too much for me to chew.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
I'm a skip across the pond. I'm an ocean on and on. I'm a fish with no bowl that I outgrew. Lift my blood. The only one on track.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, today I want to talk some more about Pokemon Go. It's like, I can't believe I never thought when I started this show that I would utter the phrase, now we're going to talk about Pokemon. I mean, yeah, never thought that would happen. I thought I thought the Pokemon thing was firmly in the past and had gone away. But that being said, just for the record, this is something a little different. Pokemon was like cards and stuff like that and toys. And then it was some cartoons and stuff like that. But, you know, this is a little different ball game, and I think that I'm not going to go download this and play it, but I think this is more interesting to talk about. So let me give you the background first, so you understand where I'm coming from on video games. For starters, I'm old. I'm super old. And I had the only video game system I have owned in my life, like I actually owned a system, was the original Atari. Played Space Invaders, and I mean, I loved it. Defender, played Pitfall, that was a good one. Frogger, woo. I mean, these were high-tech games right there. But I started seeing all this, you know, the initial Nintendo and Sega and all this, and people starting to get into video games, and like my friends that were formerly like skateboarding all the time were now skateboarding some of the time because they were like playing video games all the time. And I was just like, you know what? I like games. I enjoy playing video games. I just saw very clearly that there was if I started getting into this and made this like a hobby that I was into, that there was just an increased chance that I was going to be living in my mom's basement at some point, just playing video games. And I just said to myself, self, you are not interested in that. And I started to say I haven't lived in my mom's basement. I have lived in my mom's basement, but that was, well, I spent a lot of time in my mom's basement. I lived technically in a room on the main floor, but that was because of a back injury. I guess I have lived with my mom once since then, but that was because I moved back from California and took over, opened a coffee house. So I came back and dove right into a shop and didn't have time to look for an apartment and didn't want to spend money that I wasn't making yet. So, and plus my mom begged me to stay with her because she hadn't seen me for years, hardly at all, because I was living on the West Coast. So, but I was living in a loft over my mom's house. Then that's the opposite of a basement. Mom had a basement and I went down there like once. So that's way classier. It was like a penthouse. It was a loft. It was an open floor plan. You know, that sounds as ridiculous as it did, but you know, when you're working 100 hours a week and not having any money left at the end of the week, cause you're running a small business, you sleep where anyone will let you sleep. Anyway, so never been a video game guy, never really got into it. You know, I'm old enough and I've hung out with different generations. I've watched all the different trends kind of come and go, never got into it. Right. So I see this stuff, you know, like when I started getting like these Candy Crush invites on Facebook, like, hey, come play Candy Crush. And man, I'm not going to play Candy Crush. And I'm like, this is a trend. This is a fad. This is going to go. I'm still getting, after all these years, I'm still getting Candy Crush invites, Candy Crush Saga or something now. Right. I get Farmville. I have family members and friends who just like, you know, calling home from work, asking family members to like harvest their corn or something on Farmville. I'm just like, I am just not that human being. So now I notoriously don't like games other than Gin Rummy and the occasional poker night with the boys. I do not like games. As my friend Ken Kramer, who is someone I love more than I love most people I've ever met, who loves games, he will attest, I hate games. I can't stand playing games. So it's pretty easy for me not to download Pokemon Go. But this thing is kind of interesting in the sense that I'm kind of wanting to look at this, and it opens up some options on talking about some stuff. So there's a bunch of these reports coming around about things that have happened with Pokemon Go. And I want to talk about two or three of them. And then I want to kind of go underneath this thing and look at it and see if we can't find some interesting things to talk about. So for starters, Pokemon has like as many people have signed up for it as like Twitter. Now, that being said, I say that like, wow, as many people signed up for this as people who signed up for a system where you could publicly post the thing that you could already publicly post before it came out, except it only lets you do 140 characters. When I first heard about Twitter, I thought it was insane. I'm like, why would anyone want to try to say something in 140 characters? I can't say anything in 140 characters. Why is there a benefit in keeping this short like that? You know? And then obviously I was wrong about Twitter. So I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about Pokemon Go. So it's bigger than Twitter. And here's the thing that I think is kind of interesting. This is, call this a silver lining. It's bigger than porn. For the first time in a really long time, there were more searches for things about Pokemon Go on Google than there were porn-related searches. So anything that, you know, gives you something to do that you're not sitting around looking at porn, I mean, maybe people just needed something stimulating to do with a video in front of them. So maybe running around chasing some cartoon monster is good. And, you know, at least they're not looking at porn. So I'm just looking for the silver linings here. I'm doing my best here. Okay. Another silver lining is that churches are using Pokemon Go already. It's kind of a genius, right? Nobody wants to go to church. Great. They want to go chase these like fake video monsters. So we'll do whatever we need to do to make ourselves like a location. And then we're going to have an event where we're going to have all these Pokemon monsters you can come get. And people are like, yes, let's go get them. And while they're there, they're like, you know, hey, Pokemon's, we're going to have a Pokemon thing from this time to this time. Then there's going to be mass pizza afterwards. So they sandwich mass between Pokemon and pizza. That's pretty good marketing right there. That's pretty good event planning, you know, for, especially for teens, you know, get them to come and stay. Then we'll give you some pizza if you stay. I mean, well done, churches. They're thinking about it. So, but what's fascinating is there's been and this is another silver lining with the whole Pokemon thing, right? Is that people are actually going places and getting out of their cars and walking and doing stuff. Another mocking shout out to our own beloved Jennifer Longworth, who is Pokemon level 3, she told me, which she was claiming that doesn't mean she's like not that into it. She's only level 3. I'm like, I don't even, the fact that you know what levels are in this means you're like into it. So nice try, Jennifer, but you're one of these Poke chicks. I don't care. It's like, I warned her I was going to give her the negative shout out again. So, but people are, yeah, yesterday I was talking about this. She said, I've got more steps than I normally have. I mean, I've been getting exercise, and I'm like, you could just walk, just go for a walk around your neighborhood with your phone in your pocket and with no fake monsters jumping around for you to throw fake balls at or whatever it is that you do. Like, you know, it looks like there's some balls that get thrown or something. Anyway, so there you go. But what's interesting is that my old stomping ground down around Thousand Oaks, Camarillo, in that area, I guess there was like, they put out a face, the police, I think it was Thousand Oaks, maybe it was Camarillo, one of those two cities, like their police on their Facebook page put out, hey, we've gotten a bunch of calls about people gathering in public places and stuff. We just want you to know these people are probably playing Pokemon, and you know, it's like, why? There are kids outside. There's a public, there's children in that park over there. There's a bunch of kids in the park and they're outside. What's going on? Imagine like when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s. It's like, why are those kids outside in a park? They're in a public place outside. What are they doing? We've gotten so used to kids just sitting around inside, you know, on their phones or looking at porn or whatever they do. And we're just shocked by the public being in public places. I'm just like, so, but let's just count this at the end of the break here. Okay. So Pokemon Go has people going out in groups to public places, sometimes going to church and getting lured into visiting church for some pizza. It is distracting people from porn. And it's been big enough to be, you know, as big as Twitter. I mean, so there you go. I mean, Pokemon, I'm going to give Pokemon a high five. I'm not going to download it. I'm not going to chase fake digital monsters, but I'm going to give it a high five because that's interesting. So, well, what's more interesting is what the form it takes. And I'm going to talk, that's why we're going to get philosophical a little bit after the break. So you're listening to The Counterposition. I am your host, Andrew Whaley. We'll be right back.
We crave hanging and it's dark.
Redbox Media now is a great way for you to go deeper with your favorite show or shows in our programming lineup. With our Friend of the Show opportunity, you get extra exclusive content from your favorite show hosts and lots of extra love from the shows and hosts you love. Become a Friend of the Show by clicking on the link on our website or app menu. Your $10 monthly premium membership will unlock an exclusive world just for you. Support your favorite show today as a Friend of the Show. Friend of the Show premium memberships exclusively for you with Redbox Media.
People singing, please don't stay, but please don't go.
Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, so we've been talking about Pokemon Go, where people go to geographically specific places to interact with a digital reality by looking at it through their screen and seeing something. And they call this augmented reality, where you're looking at reality through your screen, and something is added to reality on the screen by geographical, geolocated context, right? Which, on one side, I think is kind of interesting. I had a really great experience with augmented reality software when I was in Austria. And I cannot, if anyone knows what this program is, please, please, please email me at thecounterposition@gmail.com or tweet me at counterposition or drop it on the Facebook page. I can't find it. I don't think they have it anymore in the App Store. And because I looked at all the video, all the apps I've ever had on my phone and or purchased, and I'll see it. Maybe the company went out of business or something, and I can't download it again because I don't have it anymore. But there was this app, and it was pretty cool. You could point the app at written text and then look at reality through the lens of looking at the screen of your phone, and it would use the camera lens and show you what was right on the other side. Like, it would look like you were looking through a blank, like, hole in your phone at whatever was on the other side, but it would translate everything. I can remember there's a little Herger, which is like a seasonal restaurant that is owned by people who have a farm or something, and they sell some of the stuff that they grow. And it doesn't have to pay all the crazy restaurant taxes and all that. And it's a tradition in small towns in Austria. And so there in Trumau, where the International Theological Institute is, there was a Herger, and it had just opened for the season. And everybody was excited because now there were two restaurants in this small town, because there was Cafe Vess and now there was the Herger. So we went to the Herger and had some really bad wine from some really nice people with some really good food. And I was with a group of people and we ate some. Okay, sidebar on the Herger. Okay, because I experienced something that blew my mind at the Herger. Different parts of the world can handle different kinds of heat or different kinds of spicy, but not others, right? And so, like, in Austria and Germany, that area, you make a giant pot of stew and you put like four or five red chili flakes in it. I mean, not like a good pinch, just four or five red chili flakes just to kind of give it another layer. People will be like, they can't eat it. It's too hot, right? You go to, you know, different parts of Asia, they can handle like one kind of chili spice, but a different one that's kind of got a little different spice structure or a little different chemical reason why it's spicy or something. Oh, no, can't do that. You know? Well, but in Austria, here's what blew my mind. I ordered some meat. I think it was like this boiled deer. It was kind of a deer version of Tafelspitz. And it was a Kreinfleisch. Yeah. Cause I remember using my little, app to see Kreinfleisch was like deer flesh or deer meat. So I got Kreinfleisch. I like saying that. That's fun to say. Through my little app, I chose this and this stuff comes and it's just covered with this stuff grated all over it. Right. And I thought it was like cheese. It looked like some kind of like long stringy looking Parmesan or something. I don't know what it was. It was just, I couldn't tell what it was. Someone had grated something all over the top I hadn't seen a bunch of cheese on meat there and I couldn't figure out what it was. And so I cut a piece and I kind of got some of this stuff on the bite and I took a bite of it and it was like full on super fresh, full power horseradish. And I mean, they mounded the stuff on the cry flush. I mean, it was just like covered the way you would cover spaghetti with Parmesan or something. I mean, it was like, it was so much horseradish. And I had, so I tried again, and it was just like the tiniest little bit, just the tiniest, tiniest little bit. And it just set my nose on fire. I just could not figure it out. It was just, whew. I mean, I thought there's no end. There's people around me. There's little kids around me just like, oh, you know, Kreinfleisch. And they're eating this, you know, pork loin and this deer loin and all this stuff. And it's just swimming in horseradish. And they're eating this stuff like it's just nothing. And I am ready to cry. Like my eyes are watering. My nose is on fire. It feels like it's going to explode. And so, yeah, small town Austria, they are digging on some horseradish. So, but there's a good sidebar for you. So I used my little phone. I held it up. I held my iPhone 4S up, looked through the screen at the menu. I looked at signs. I walked all over Austria, and it was really funny because I kind of got to figure out, I already kind of had a decent idea of how the German language works. And it's very, kind of like the Greek language in like ancient Greek or something, where they just stack all these concepts on top of each other. And I think the one, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like, I was going under this bridge, but there was this other little, like, and there was like a river, but then there was like this place you could go kind of higher above where the little walk went, but it was still under the bridge. And it was like the upper part of the under part. It was, it's like all one big word, like the going over part of the under part under the over part or something like that. It's like this big long word. I'm like, why in the world are you people doing? But you can sort that out with augmented reality, right? So there you go. Augmented reality is what we're talking about. Now, on a philosophical level, I'm kind of offended by this. Why? Because I like reality. I'm a giant fan of reality as is. What is actual reality, you know? And I have a hard time saying that you can add something that has less being to it, to this actual being. You can take, I don't know, digital being and add it to this real being and then say, oh, we've augmented it in some way. Like we've added to it. You didn't add anything to it. I mean, the being has not been altered in any way, shape, or form. You didn't add being to it. You added like the phenomena or something. You added some kind of simulation or something. You didn't add anything. You didn't augment reality. So I'm offended by the phrase augmented reality. Maybe we should call it augmented experience but experience, there's a word, there's a loaded word, right? What is experience? Is that just what happens on the inside of you? This is like Thomas Aquinas College, junior and senior seminar here. Is my experience just what happens on the inside of myself? Or as Aristotle would say, or St. Thomas says that the soul is all, in a way, all things, right? And Aristotle is going to say that there's something out there in reality. And if we sense it in a way, it's kind of in us, so to speak, right? It's not just, we're not just experiencing ourselves. We're kind of experiencing the thing itself kind of in us in a way, right? That's a whole nother loaded argument that I have mixed feelings on both sides of that. But Is that really experience? Let's go to the Jazani side. I mean, is it something that you could really, is it really, really the ergonomic relationship between reality and a person? Can we call, experience, you know, that we could call it that. I don't know if we can call something just like fakely digitally there, you know, but maybe it's because it's something as banal as a little pocket monster bird thing or something. Maybe if it was something less banal, I wouldn't be as judgmental about it. But is that how you say it? Banal is how you say that, right? Banal is one of those words that you see written all the time and you don't really say and you don't hear said. And I've always like, is it banal or is it banal? I'm going to go with banal because banal just doesn't sound good and it could be misheard. It's like a friend of mine and I were talking online last night and she mentioned that she how unfortunate it is when people say eschatological instead of eschatological, because eschatological, that sounds like scat. And it just all of a sudden you think, is someone talking about like animal poop or something? You're just like, oh, no. The things about the end. Oh, eschatology. Oh, I got you. Yeah. So say eschatology, not eschatological, or say eschatological. How's that for a bizarre side? That sidebar had dirty humor about animal poop and the pronunciation of pedantic words. I don't think that actually breaks any of my, it fits any of the rules for the drinking game, but I think you should drink anyway, because it fits the spirit of the rules. Having both scat and that in the same sentence. So, all right, so let's go on that note. Let's go to the eschatology of the segment and the priest of the segment. And we'll be right back in just a second. You're listening to The Counter Position.
Then all the color glass that painter's palette smash, all the colors of my soul.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
I'm a hyena laughing fool. I'm a hero without anyone to see. Love decked myself in toys. I'm a poor and kingly boy. Oh, I'm lovely. And I'm dumb.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your host, Andrew Whaley. And we are in the final lap, the home stretch, the fourth loop around the track and the open mile that is the shot put fat boy being forced to run. That is my life. I think there's a good part of me that is still the shot putter being forced to run the open mile. But you know, I mean, it's kind of like, what is that that phrase in Jeremiah where he says, "Oh, you can't race with men, and you think you're going to race with horses?" Maybe that's what it is. Maybe I'm still being forced to race with horses when I can't race with men. How was that for a deep thought on a really, really boring subject? All right, so but let's talk about what are people going to get when they get Pokemon. What are they going? There's got to be a good, right? I mean, people act for a perceived good of some kind, and they're acquiring something. You know, you got to catch them all. What are you catching? How can this thing? Now, you know, I remember my mom came out for a visit not too long ago. Now, my mom has a bizarre hobby. I think this is a bizarre hobby, and I gave her endless amounts of crap about this. I still tease her about it. My mom gets prices on gas and reports them to gasbuddy.com. And if she gets, you know, more of them and catches, she's the first person to do it. She does the same one several days in a row. There's like all these scores you could get, and it's like a social like game, right? And I'm like, okay. It's like, I mean, there is like the offhand chance that if she keeps doing this and she got good at it, that maybe every few months or something, she could like win $100 or something. I'm like, save your time and just find a way to make $100 every few months. I mean, but she's like into it. Like she's psycho about it. Like we were driving around and she's looking at the world through this lens of the phone as I'm driving and asking me if we can go a block out of our way over here so she can catch this, this gas sign. I'm like, okay. And I did it because I'm a good son for the most part. I might have told her no a few times, but I did it because I'm a good son. But it was annoying. And I was just kind of like, what are you getting out of this? Right? There is some good, you know, like I use the Waze app sometimes, especially when I'm traveling, because it warns you about like traffic ahead and it gives you good directions. Waze is kind of crappy around here. It doesn't work very well in Denver, seems like, but man, I was in California and it took me completely around, just shot me past a huge, huge backup on the 101 South, just south of Santa Barbara. Took me off on an outer road, took me right down past the beach and right back onto the highway. And there was a huge backup because of some construction or something. And it just took me right around it without me asking to be taken around it. And it also warns you about police. It warns you about wrecks. It warns you about all kinds of stuff. So there is a form of augmented reality. You're watching this little like app and listening to what they say, and it's based on where you are, and there's symbols, but the symbols relate to realities. There's a little cop badge or something because there really is a police officer ahead and you might want to double check your speed. There is a little sign, but there really is a wreck there. Or there was when someone reported it. There is some relationship to something that's there. Now, you can get like points and stuff, and there's like a whole social thing, and you can see the icons of other people running ways, driving past you and towards you and stuff. And you can see like they're like if they have a certain level they've achieved or whatever. Never even looked at any of that aspect of it. Could not care. The only way I would have cared if it was like, oh yeah, you know, there's these other things like, you know, cops that we don't tell you about unless you have a certain level, then I'm like, okay, how do I get that level? You know, but there's some good in actual reality being reflected in this digital reality. Right. So what's interesting is that now, another thing with augmented reality where it's been used so far would be like, you would be standing on a street and you're like, hey, we want to go grab some food. There's a bunch of restaurants. There are apps that you can like hold the phone up and spin around, and on the screen from where you're located and where you're pointing, coupons will pop up for some of these restaurants, or a review. You can like see the review stars with your settings or something like that. You can walk, you can look around and it will give you, but it's giving you information or possible, it's offering you real goods, 20% off this pizza, or it's giving you real information, actual people's experiences eating the actual pizza. Right. But the idea of here's a monster standing in front of the pizza place. Now, if I had to throw balls at the monster till I got him and then it gave me 20% off on the pizza, I don't know. Maybe I'd throw some balls if I needed 20% off the pizza. I'd probably just be a jerk and just not throw the balls, pay the extra 20% out of spite, because I think it's stupid that they're making me try to catch a fake monster just to get a pizza. But it would still be somehow directed towards these real goods in reality. Now, here's where I'm going to mess with myself a little bit, though. I'm going to argue against myself. We're going to explore another direction on this where I think it's kind of interesting. So things that used to have value used to be made out of something that made them exclusive, right? If I owned this physical book and I loaned it to you, or gave it to you, or if I had this record, I had this piece of music and I gave it to you, I didn't have it anymore. But as we started like getting tapes and CDs to burn and stuff, and now with the digital revolution in the last 25, 30 years, or even just not even the digital revolution, just the copying revolution, formerly physical goods can now be, well, I mean, even think about it with vinyl and stuff, an experience that had a value of hearing a piece of music could be captured and then repeated or shared, right? And multiple people could be listening to that same experience at different times and have it. But now it's like, I can write a book. I could write up something and have it and never print it. And I could share it with one person or 1 million people. And I don't have any less than I have before. And it really didn't cost me anything. So in some senses, digital goods have made things that were formerly physical goods more like non-physical goods, which previously had just been moral or spiritual or intellectual. They were ideas or virtues or, you know, something like that. So these digital goods, you know, when we think about the real goods, things like love, when you share it, you don't have less because you shared it. In fact, you probably have more. But the digital world is making things that used to be made out of matter able to be shared and even be amplifying in that way that only spiritual goods are. But I just don't see that this is that kind of thing. Right? I think I'm all for the digital revolution, you know, and I'm okay with interaction with reality in kind of this augmented format. Right. But then let's look at what we're kind of okay with, right? Let's look at things that we consider valuable, right? Like a $20 bill. A $20 bill is worth $20 because the government says by fiat that it's worth $20. That's why they call it fiat currency. It used to be we were on the gold standard. $20 was worth $20 worth of gold. It was issued on the gold sitting in Fort Knox or whatever. But we're not on the gold standard anymore. But even then, it's like, well, who the hell said that gold's worth anything? I mean, people buy gold and silver as a hedge against the market. But gold and silver are kind of currency in themselves. I mean, they are useful up to a point. But if you want something that's actually valuable, it's going to be basically like a commodity or something like water or steel or wood. Basically, it's going to be Settlers of Catan. It's all the sheep and wood and ore. It's like that's what's worth something. But the problem is if we get to the point that gold isn't worth anything, either things have gotten really, really good or really, really bad. One of the two. Anyway, well, these are my thoughts on Pokemon and spirit and augmented reality and the possibility of digital goods today. I don't know if we made any sense whatsoever, but it just seems strange to me that, you know, people want this distraction. You know, maybe look, let's just have on the last 30 seconds or so, let's just go big picture. Silver lining. Maybe a bunch of people who normally sit inside and never go outside and do anything will go outside and do something. And then after they catch them all, there won't be any more to catch. And maybe the next game will come along. They'll get tired of that. And they'll go, but maybe they'll get used to going for a walk. Or maybe they'll go, you know what? That park that we went to catch the Pokemon thing, that was a pretty nice park. I mean, there's no more Pokemon to catch, but you know, we could go catch some rays or catch the Frisbee. I mean, maybe it'll drag people out. Maybe they're onto something. I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. Anyway, all right, well, that's all I got for the day, such as it is. Let's pull the plug and pop the cork on another episode of The Counter Position. Thanks for coming out. See you next time.
I take your place, marble stone. I take your place, marble stone.